Well, we're going to continue with our study of Paul's letter to the Galatians, but I just couldn't pass by the Old Testament reading without noting that we haven't come a long way, have we, in how many thousands of years since Jezebel's time. Politicians and people in authority. It sounds like a familiar story. Anyway, that's our purpose in being here, is to change the story, right? And I think Paul's purpose in writing the letter to the Galatians. So I'm just going to do a little review. So for the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. And so in this letter, Paul is reminding the Galatians that when they were baptized and when they received the Holy Spirit, they were baptized into the truth that God loves them as they are, and that they were given the Holy Spirit to help them to love others as God loves them. But since Paul left, some other people have come and been telling them that Paul was wrong, that they do not qualify to be God's beloved, nor to share in the promises to Abraham, unless they first become Jewish. And Paul is saying, no, no, that's absolutely wrong, and he's really upset about it. So part of figuring out the whole letter is to see, why is this so upsetting? Like, what is going on here? At any rate, he's going to convince the Galatians that what he told them was the truth and what these other guys are saying is absolutely wrong and that it's important. So first he establishes his own authority, which it seems has been challenged by the people who came behind him after he left Galatia, because he never actually met Jesus in the flesh. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus when he was received an amazing apocalyptic vision, experience that was so overwhelming he fell off his horse and became blind for 3 days. It was so incredibly life-changing, his experience of meeting the risen Christ. And Paul talks about, he tells the Galatians that in his earlier life, he was a zealous Jew, a Pharisee, who tried to annihilate the followers of Jesus, the Church of Jesus, until he joined it. And he talks about receiving a revelation of Jesus and a call, just like the prophets of old, a call to become a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. And as part of that call, he established the churches in Galatia, baptizing the converts who then received the Holy Spirit. So that's, he's giving them his background, reminding them. And when he evangelized the Gentiles, when he proclaimed the good news to the Gentiles in Galatia, he did not require them to be circumcised or to keep the food laws that are carefully laid out in the Torah. And so the people who came after Paul said, well, wait a minute, Paul only gave you part of the story. You do have to become Jews. You do have to submit to circumcision. And you do have to keep the food laws if you're really going to be part of God's salvation plan. And Paul says, no. No, no, no. You don't. And it's not just about, do you have to wear a red shirt for Pentecost or not? Would be a good thing to do. It's for Paul, it's hugely important. So it's important for us to figure out what the heck he's talking about. So that's the story that we've had for the past 2 weeks. And then there's a little bit of the letter to the Galatians that the lectionary leaves out. And that's when Paul is talking about a meeting with the leaders of the Christian church in Jerusalem. And at that time, when he met with them, they all agreed that they would evangelize Jews and Paul would evangelize Gentiles, and that the Gentiles did not, in fact, have to become Jews. They could just become Christians straight in. But I guess some of them were not very happy with that, with the idea of the Gentiles not having to keep the law. And even Peter and Barnabas disappointed Paul on this matter. Paul talks about a time when Peter joined him in Antioch, and together they sat down and ate with the Gentiles, and they didn't worry about the food laws. But then later on, a group of these people who were saying, no, you have to be Jewish first and then Christian later, when they came along, Paul changed his mind Peter changed his mind, and Paul is calling him a coward. He said, "And the other Jews joined Peter in this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, can live like a Gentile, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" Anyway, not a sentence that comes immediately clear to me, but what he's saying is, you agreed with me earlier, like, what are you doing now? So, because he can see that even Peter doesn't realize how important this is, Paul needs to clarify the relationship between law and faith, justification and the cross. And it's not easy to do. And Paul is trying to work it out. This is the first time we have a record of it, is in this letter to Galatia. And he continues in some of his other letters, particularly Romans, but this is his first try at it. So the beginning of our reading today that Bob read, it began, "We ourselves are Jews by nature and not Gentile sinners." Then he had just been talking about Peter and Barnabas, so he was... that's why he says, "We ourselves are Jews." And one of the commentators said, "Maybe this is not the most politically correct way to refer to Gentiles, Gentile sinners." But his point is, it doesn't matter whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you've always kept the law or whether you've never kept the law. You are all brought into God's love in Christ. Because of Jesus Christ's faith, not because of our faith, not because of what we do, but because Jesus died for us. It is not our faith in Jesus that makes us right with God. It is the faith of Jesus that justifies us. And justification is a strange word. And it's translating a word that in Greek, I guess they can translate it justify sometimes and be righteous other times. It basically means being right with God. And so I think of justification as similar to balancing your checkbook. Justification with God is making sure that the way our life looks to God is the same way we are presenting it. So think about that for a minute. When God looks at your life, what does God see? And is that the way you're living in the world? Is that the way you're presenting yourself in the world? When I go there, it immediately becomes clear to me that there are places I would like to fix so that it looks better to everybody. But the way your life looks to God, when God looks at you and sees your life, what God sees is loveliness. You are lovely in God's eyes. We are God's beloved children. And, you know, I can look at my children and see that they're doing things I'm not happy with. And But that doesn't change how I love them. And that is the same with us and God. As Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in our baptism, we have become God's beloved children, and Christ has, and through his Holy Spirit, lives in us, and we become beloved. We can't do anything to make God love us more. We can't do anything that will make us look better in God's eyes. We are already God's beloved, and Christ lives in us. If we succumb to the notion that something we might do will make us more acceptable to God, we are mocking God. That's what he's saying about the people who say, if you have to keep the food laws, you have to be circumcised in order to be right with God. No, you don't. If we succumb to the notion that something anyone else might do will make them more acceptable to God, we are mocking God. Or as Paul says, we are nullifying the grace of God. For if justification, if God's love, comes through the law, through things that mortals do, then it's as if Christ died for nothing. Christ died that sins might be forgiven. And so, knowing that God loves you, and God loves your fellow human beings dearly, that God's only Son, Jesus Christ, gave his life for us and for all humanity, we are called to accept his love for us and to respond with that same love toward God and toward our neighbors. Amen.